Ron and I have talked about how sometimes the choir picks a piece, even though he and I haven't talked about what I'm going to preach on, the choir picks a piece that just fits perfectly. And this was the case today. This beautiful music having to do with one faith, one hope, one Lord, one God. And it's beauty that shows us that we're united in a way that's beyond ourselves. Now, I want you to take a minute just right now and actually turn your heads to do this and look around the room, because I want you to recognize the diversity of people who are here. And it's beautiful. We were a little more diverse last service because there was somebody sitting over here in a Giants jersey and somebody sitting over here in a Chargers jersey. So that was it. Now, we have somebody over here in a Michigan State shirt who beat Nebraska by 5 last night. But we're still friends. But seriously, when you look around the room and you see this great diversity of age, of gender and gender identity, perhaps of political affiliation, this wonderful diversity of sexual orientation identity, this wonderful diversity of racial and ethnic background. What a beautiful congregation this is. When we look at it, especially in that lens, maybe I don't tell you this enough, but y'all are beautiful. And you're welcome. Truly, I mean, it's wonderful. Now, you know, most of you, that the last church I served was in Nebraska, and I sort of, perhaps out of ignorance, imagined that I would go into this city that was all a whole bunch of white people. And while much of the congregation that I served was that way, it was also an eye-opening experience when I went to this community and found this large migrant population direct from Mexico, but also a large migrant population direct from South Sudan. What a wonderful illustration, by the way, and a learning experience. I had no idea the great differences between African culture and African-American culture. That's just my own ignorance. And to be in and spend time with a community who experiences such a deep sense of loss, if you've been paying attention to some of the items in the news about the civil war in South Sudan, holding a funeral for someone who went back to fight in the civil war and was killed. What a wonderful education experience and mind-opening experience about the beauty of our humanity in its diversity. It's really wonderful. Now, we celebrate this kind of diversity today as we celebrate World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday is an opportunity that we as United Methodists here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, as we celebrate communion today on a day that's scheduled for churches across denominations and around the globe to celebrate Holy Communion. Can you imagine that as we celebrate communion today, that there could be someone in New York, maybe wearing a Giants jersey, receiving communion in an evening service or an afternoon service? That there may be someone in Europe celebrating communion in an evening service in another language? Imagine the idea of the entirety of the globe celebrating communion today. And we celebrate this once a year. I think it's a wonderful thing. Now, I didn't understand all of the history of World Communion Sunday, and so I'd like to show you a short video. And if you haven't seen, this is a video that comes from the National United Methodist Church. It's a short video. It's only a few minutes. There are something like 80 of these videos now. It's various things, again, put out by the United Methodist Church from an entertainment perspective. It's called Chuck Knows Church, and it's this sort of walkthrough of this guy named Chuck as he discovers things about the church, and he teaches things about the church. So here's a video on World Communion Sunday from Chuck Knows Church.
Around and around it goes, and where the world stops, nobody knows. Oh, I'm going to live in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, apparently. It's a bad go. All right, the world in all its splendor and glory. Quite astonishing, don't you think? You know, the real world is actually a lot bigger than this, and it's more astonishing than this. Whatever. Look at this globe. Now, imagine it actual size. All right, now, imagine what it would be like if all Christians of this world, actual size, were to join together at the Lord's table, all taking Holy Communion at the same time. Impossible, you might think. Well, there is a way that it might just be possible. And that's why we are talking about World Communion Sunday on this episode of Chuck Knows Church. I've always loved spinning these things. Oh, we got a little crazy. Let me start again.
Okay.
World Communion Sunday is celebrated once a year by Christian denominations around the globe on the first Sunday of October. It promotes Christian and ecumenical unity. Now, World Communion Sunday began in 1933 in the Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was later adopted by Presbyterian churches throughout the states and then spread to other denominations all around the world. Now, in 1940, the Federal Council of Churches, now known as the National Council of Churches, endorsed the Ecumenical Sunday, promoting it worldwide. Now, in the United Methodist Church, it is one of six church-wide special Sundays. The offering taken during World Communion Sunday benefits leadership, graduate, and undergraduate scholarships for both national and international students for both the Ethnic Scholarship Program and the Ethnic In-Service Training Program. United Methodists encourage qualified people, especially youth and young adults, to apply for scholarships, and the church gives generously to the special offering, which often enables first-generation students to attend college, maybe even med school. If you'd like to know more, be sure to ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you. Yeah, it throbs. I'm not going to lie. It's like pulsing. I can feel my heartbeat in my fingers.
I tell you about Chuck Knows Church and about World Communion Sunday. I like it because I find it educational. So we'll watch those from time to time. He said at the end about World Communion Sunday, he said, ask your pastor if you want to know more. He already taught me some stuff. So if you want to know more, we'll have to figure it out together. Is that okay? Good. So this idea of this diversity coming together in unity in celebrating World Communion Sunday, I mean, if you took that minute to look around and see the diversity that's just in this room, imagine the diversity that's around the globe and folks who are United Methodists and African Methodists and Presbyterian and Baptist and United Universalists and United Church of Christ and Disciples of Christ. I mean, just across denominations, to say nothing of the unique diversity within each congregation. It's a beautiful idea. And it's an idea that I'd like to lead us into our scripture. And in an effort to illustrate just a tiny bit of our own diversity, I've invited Sydney and Kathy to read our scripture for us. Turns out Sydney and Kathy both speak both Cantonese and Mandarin, so we had to split it up. So Sydney and Kathy, go ahead and come on up. Sydney's going to read our scripture out of Philippians in Cantonese, and then Kathy will come up and read in Mandarin. But don't worry, if you don't speak Cantonese or Mandarin, I'll read it in English afterward. So thank you.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. 若是別人想他可以靠肉體，我更可以靠著了。我第八天受割禮，我是以色列族便雅文支派的人，是希伯來人所生的希伯來人，就律法說我是法利賽人，就疑心說我是逼迫教會的，就律法上的義說我是無可指責的。 只是我先前以为与我有益的，我现在因基督都当作有损的。不但如此，我也将万事当作有损的，因我以认识我主基督耶稣为至宝。我为他已经丢弃万事，看作粪土，为要得着基督，并且得以在他里面，不是有自己因律法而得义，乃是有信基督的义，就是因信神而来的义，使我认识基督，晓得他复活的大能，并且晓得欲和他一同受苦，效法他的死，或者我也得以从死里复活。这不是说我已经得着了，已经完全了，我乃是竭力追求，或者可以得着基督耶稣所以得着我的。弟兄们，我不是以为自己已经得着了，我只有一件事，就是忘记背后，努力面前的，向着标杆直跑，要得曾在基督耶稣里从上面照我来得的奖赏。
Thank you, Sydney. As Kathy comes up, listen to the difference between Cantonese and Mandarin. I mean, Cantonese primarily used in Hong Kong, Mandarin a primary language of China, which geographically aren't terribly far apart, and there's great beauty in the difference between them.
其实我也可以靠肉体，若有别人想他可以靠肉体，我更可以靠着了。我第八天受隔离，我是以色列族，便雅文支派的人，是希伯来人所生的希伯来人。据法律说我是法利赛人，据热心说我是逼迫教会的，据立法上的意说我是无可指责的。这是我先前以为与我有益的，现在我因为基督都当作有损的。不但如此，我也将万事当作有损的，因为我认识我主耶稣基督为至宝，我为他已经丢去万事，看作粪土，我要看作基督，并且要得在他里面，不是有自己因法律而得的义，只是有信基督的义，就是因信神而来的义，使我认识基督，晓得他复活的大能，并且晓得和他有一同受苦，效法他的死，或者我也得从死里复活。这不是说我已经得了，已经完全了，我仍是竭力追求，或者可以得到基督耶稣所得着的我。弟兄们，我们不是为了自己已经得着了，我只有一件事，就是忘记背后，努力前面的，向着标杆直跑，要得神的基督耶稣从上面召来我的奖赏。
Thank you. If you don't know Sydney, you may not know that he has some connections in another country, and so I thought about asking him to read in Canadian. We decided to skip that. That's good. I'd like to read the same scripture now in English, unless y'all got... Did y'all get that? No? All right, we'll read in English then. I'll read again from the third chapter of Philippians, beginning with verse 4. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. If anyone else has reason to put their confidence in physical advantages, I have even more. Now, Paul starts out, and I sort of wonder, Paul, you patting yourself on the back? And I don't think he is. I think he's trying to give us where he's coming from. He's trying to educate us on, listen, I come from this place, perhaps a place of privilege. And yet here's what I think about that in light of Christ. He says this. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. With respect to observing the law, I'm a Pharisee. With respect to devotion to the faith, I harassed the church. Now let me talk about that for a minute. Remember, Paul, as a good Jew, doing what he was supposed to do, said to those nasty Christians, you can't do this, you have to be Jewish. Right? And remember, Paul is formerly named Saul. He's the one who would persecute the church until he was on that road to Damascus. So I want you to know that history and connect that history, because I don't want any of you to think that in order to have devotion to your faith, you have to persecute the church. That's not what Paul is saying. But he's saying, from my history, I did all the right things. He says, with respect to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. These things were my assets, but I wrote them off as a loss for the sake of Christ. But even beyond that, I consider everything a loss in comparison with the superior value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have lost everything for Him, but what I lost I think of as sewer trash. The King James Version calls it dung. You know other words for that. He says, I think of it as sewer trash so that I might gain Christ and be found in Him. In Christ I have a righteousness that is not my own, and that does not come from the law, but rather from the faithfulness of Christ. It is the righteousness of God that is based on faith. The righteousness that I have comes from knowing Christ, the power of His resurrection, and the participation in His sufferings. It includes being conformed to His death so that I may perhaps reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. And then he gets into a little bit of language that connects with Wesley's idea of Christian perfection. We've been talking about that over these last few weeks. These last two verses go this way. It's not that I've already reached this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it. But I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. Paul recognizes that even with his level of privilege, even with who he is on his journey of faith, that he is on the same journey of faith as everybody else. And as you looked around the room today, you saw a room full of other people who are also on the journey of faith. And I believe that our call is not only to continue in our own journey of faith, but as we meet others, don't assume for one second that somebody else is in a further behind place on their journey of faith than you are. Don't try to push yourself ahead of that journey. Because frankly, I think as soon as we try to push ourselves ahead and say that we're further on our journey than others, I wonder if the truth is the opposite. We're going to meet other people on this journey. What if we just recognize that we're all on the same road no matter what part of the journey we're on? What if we recognize that it is the journey that unites us? It is love that unites us. It is hope that unites us. As the choir sang, what if we recognize, calling back to a sermon from a couple of weeks ago, whether or not we're vegetarians or carnivores, we're all on this road together. What if we recognize that whether we're LGBT or straight or male or female or some non-binary gender, what if we recognize that if we're Methodists or Presbyterians or Baptists, if we're Republicans or Democrats, if we're Chargers fans or Jets fans, that we are all on this road together, and it is something beyond us that unites us together. I think when we choose to look beyond ourselves, we recognize the deepness of the love that calls us, and we find ourselves in the beauty of our diversity, united. Let's close in prayer. Holy and gracious God, here we are together, your children, from so many different backgrounds, folks who look different and act different and think different, who have different ideas, who have different abilities. And yet the truth is that we are one in your creation. That we are all your children, regardless of the ways that we separate ourselves. So God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive you, to nourish us and strengthen us and lift us up so that we might have the strength and the conviction to share your love with everyone that we meet, regardless of the differences. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. Holy God, in the union of your love, We know that we might come to you in all times of our lives, in those days that we celebrate anniversaries of love or of birth, of achievements, of promotions, of good things happening. And we know that we might come to you in times of trial and challenge. And so, God, we lift up all these circumstances to you. The gifts that have been received, the joys that are being celebrated. And we also lift up to you those who are ill and injured, those who are in the midst of violence, those who need to hear your voice and your call, those who need to feel your comfort, those who are nearing the end of life, and those who are experiencing grief as loved ones pass from this life to the next. And God, knowing that you hold us in those times of challenge and that you dance with us in times of joy, help us to remember to focus on you, to focus on your children, and to be your presence. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Christ. Amen.